Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. It is Sunday, May the 3rd. That's what this program is made for, 2015, as we, look at some interesting questions that I have gathered together from people who have written me over the last 4 or 5 months on their anger. Anger is a big subject for people. They like to believe they aren't angry, or that if they are angry, they were provoked into it, and somehow it makes it all so righteous for them to be angry. I am grateful to be with you in this format of satsang, heart-to-heart communion, something where I get to interact with you, and I'm very grateful. I want to remind you that this program, this whole effort here that I am doing, is supported solely and entirely upon sponsors, people who have been generous enough to offer their donations to keep this offering on the website. And I am extremely grateful to our mystery donor who has paid for this entire year, but is matching donations. He wants you to become a sponsor and to sustain this effort that I'm trying to make here for the world. And if you have gained something from the radio program and the commentaries, the podcast, the video cast, and all the things I offer, including the TV programs, then I hope you will become a sponsor and help us keep this on the air and get a running start, as it were, into next year. And I know it seems like a long ways off, but believe me, it happens really fast. So I hope you will help. If you ever have a comment, a question, or something I might be of service to you, please remember you can go up to the top of the page and it says contact. Just contact me. Leave me your question, whatever it may be. I don't care. I am very, very conscientious about your beautiful questions, and I want to serve you as much as I possibly can. If you don't want me to use your name or your location when I answer the questions, just tell me and I will keep it very private and confidential. Okay? So let me know what's on your mind. Maybe there's something there in your question that I can help you with. And believe it or not, maybe someone else. And that is one of the great generosities of it all. First question. You say that we are all angry. I don't feel anger. What up, Rick? He doesn't tell me where he lives. Rick, if you have a human body, and I'm going to assume that you do, you have anger. Anger gathers in us as the perfect storm, as it were, without us ever doing very much about it. We don't know we're angry, and the reason we don't know we're angry is because anger is the average level. It's where we live at. It is our deep approximation of life and how we live it from within ourselves. The reason emotion turns to emotions, the reason they populate within us, is based on the whole effort of being angry. Now, you have to understand how I define anger. I define it as unresolved hurt, pain, and sorrow. Unresolved hurt, pain, and sorrow. Now, once this is understood within you, then you can see what I mean, that we are all angry. The body gets angry. The emotionality becomes frightened. And hence, angry. Why? Because I'm afraid I won't survive. I'm afraid I won't survive well. I'm afraid I won't get what I want. I'm afraid that other people think things of me that maybe I don't want them to think of me. Whatever. I'm coming up with all sorts of things that I've heard in the counseling room. So when a person says they're not angry like you, I know they're angry. I'm angry. Everyone's angry. I have the Greg Penn part of me that is deeply angry that the world turned out the way it did, that a lot of very beautiful people were taken out of our world because they were trying to do things that were loving and kind in this world. There's a lot of things you can get angry about, but to say I am not angry, to rationalize my anger and say, well, you know, it's foolish to be angry because this is just the way the world is and you have to accept it the way it is horse manure, absolute horse manure. Doesn't do us any good at all to hear that kind of stuff. Yeah, the world is the way the world is and life is the way life is and people are the way they are. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to get angry. Now, what I do with my anger, Rick, is what is deeply important. If I take that anger and I shove it down into my emotions, into my gut, or I like to pretend like it doesn't exist or isn't existing in my life or isn't happening in my life, then I have a real problem. Then I have made my life very ugly. I've made my life very painful. I've made my life, shall we say, unrealistic. So now this anger that we are talking about is going to come out sideways. It's going to come out in my life in various ways, probably through my body, through my health, through a lot of different aspects of me. But as long as I live in that modality, in that kind of fear, in that kind of anger, I'm going to live unconsciously. And living unconsciously as I do makes me even more angry and more fearful and more unresolved. There is no way to resolve anger inside of us, no matter what we may think, say, or do. There's just no way to do it. Why? Because every time I do something like that, I create for myself one more emotion. And that's why my emotions are the way they are. I make more emotions. I make them more ugly. I make them more hateful. I postpone a lot of things inside of me, whereby I merely suppress, and then it expresses through all sorts of various ways that I don't even understand, through my eating, some of you through drinking, pot, alcohol, all sorts of things, drugs, porn. There's all sorts of ways in which people express their anger. And then it gives a very vicious circle to our life. So, Rick, if I'm angry, let's take just a typical person. If I'm angry and I'm hostile towards maybe something in my life or even myself, blah, 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 whatever that may be, I'll try to find an out for it. I'll find a gratification. And it could be seeming as innocuous as, let's say, being obsessive compulsive about cleaning, about driving, about a hobby, about sports, about eating. It could be about a lot of things. I think we Americans are very much into eating and food. So we get very frustrated about it all. Very frustrated. And in that frustration, we get upset with ourselves about our life and how we're living it or how we believe it's so unfair or whatever. And then what happens with that is it keeps going and going, and I want an out for it. So I might use food. I might use some hobby or obsession instead of maybe going into it and seeing, Rick, what the heck is going on inside me? Why do I live off of this anger? It isn't that I'm just angry, unresolved hurt, pain, and sorrow. It's that I want to live off of it, that I actually think I can live off of it. And that's the sticky point. That's the difficulty of it all. That I think that there's some virtue in my anger. And that I use it to separate me from others and make me better than others and la, la, la. We love doing this kind of thing. I watch people do it all the time. It's passive aggressive. It's deep in the unconscious. A lot of people live out of their unconscious mind. So this just happens over and over and over and over again. Rick, you say, I say that we are all angry. We are all angry. Your email, whether you knew it or not, was angry. What up? You say you don't feel any anger. What up? What? Please. The world is not going to get any better sticking my head in an ostrich hole. You know what I mean? It's just not going to get any better. Denying what is there isn't going to make my life better. Understanding the nature of my anger and not trying to solve it, but understanding that it is building within me a reservoir of unresolved hurt, pain, and sorrow might help me, well, be more compassionate. And maybe I will be able to resolve it within me. Maybe I'll be able to resolve it through being kind to myself. I offer catharsis to change all of this. I offer what we call, jokingly, heavy breathers one, where you lay on the floor and you breathe big, deep breaths into your gut, where a lot of the emotion is, and in your throat, where a lot of emotion is, and you allow it to come out, and you get to scream and cry and pant. It's very, very important. Then there's energy momentum one, which is a more kind of yoga style of catharsis. And it is beautiful. We used to do this in the Tibetan pulsing group, and it was always one of the most beautiful things. And we do this at Mount Madonna when we have retreats in the morning. We'll do energy momentum one and the other one, which is morning jewel, which is a panting through the seven chakras, letting out the anger and the fear and just letting it go. And then beginning our practice for the day. You have to see how our anger works. You can't be concerned about what you're angry about. You have to see how it works first. And if you don't see that, then me or anyone else telling you that you're angry or what you're angry about isn't going to help you at all. Not even remotely. Just something for you to ponder, Rick. Thank you for listening to Satsang. Thank you for coming to the website and offering your question. It was very brave and very beautiful, and I thank you with all my heart, Rick. And please forgive me. Namaste. We have a lot that's unresolved within us. That's what motivates us to try to do quote-unquote good. A lot of people are motivated, unbeknownst to them, to try to make a better person out of themselves by being more, successful, getting what they want, fulfilling their desires. They think if they do that, then in some way they've resolved their anger, but they haven't, not at all, not even remotely have I done that. We've all tried that from one time to another, have we not? We think, well, if I get this money, if I work real hard, if I don't do this, if I don't, then I won't be as angry. But we are, and we will, and we do. Next one comes from Bob, and he lives in Hawaii. He listens to us. How does anger affect my life when people are so cruel? I just try to fight off their crap. Is that so bad, Greg? Bob, do you notice in these questions that there's a subtle anger about even the way they ask the questions? So, Bob, you're asking me to justify your anger and tell you, oh, it's okay, you're just fighting off other people's crap, and that's all you need to worry about. You're doing the right thing. You're righteous. You see, deep inside, we want the gratification of vengefulness. We want to avenge our anger. We want to avenge whatever it is that we think makes us angry. So as we live in this kind of dilemma, we create more anger for ourselves. Yes, there is a lot of crap that all of us face in the course of our life. There is a lot of cruelty out there, Bill. There is no doubt about it. But to fight an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, to seek vengeance over those who are ignorant and don't understand the nature of themselves. This is something very ugly, and it perpetuates the myth of pain and sorrow in us as being righteous. Don't seek righteousness, Bill. Seek resolution within yourself. You may not be able to become resolved with a person who you're at odds with, somebody who has hurt you or made you angry. You may not be able to do that. There's an old Zen story that I have loved for years. It is about the master and the disciple. And they are walking back from the Zendo after meditation, and a former student comes and throws a rock and hits the master in the back of the head. It hurt. The master never turned. He never looked at the man who did it. He just got up and walked on. Very beautiful. The little monk said, "Why didn't you turn around and address the issue?" The master said, "Only to turn around and look at him and to address the issue would have only made him madder. Why do that?" It's true. Why do that? It isn't going to change anything. Don't you know, Bill, that when people make us angry, it's our issue, not theirs? When people are vicious and unkind and throwing, as you say, the crap at us, that it's our issue if we take the crap? Buddha was going back to where he originated from, his body, shall we say, back into the city. He just entered the fringes of it, and people were there to spit on him and call him names, and that's exactly what they did. They were very angry at him because he didn't become the king to help them, to guide them. He was either going to be a great ruler, a great king, or a great mystic, and he chose being a mystic. So after all of the snide remarks and the spitting and the unkind words were hurled at him, he looked at them and said, "You know, if you had done this a year or two ago, before his enlightenment, this might have had an effect. But now I see it for what it is. And I forgive you." And he walked away. He understood. He absolutely understood people's anger. He didn't condone it. He didn't condemn it. He just understood it. And that, Bob, is what you must do. You must start to understand the crap that they throw at you. It may seem personal. It may seem uncaring. It may seem unjustified. It may seem like a lot of things, but why worry about it? Why let it affect you? What's that to you? Follow the highest that lives within you. Go to that rarefied air within you and realize that people know not what they do. Bob, they don't know. Most people live in pure reaction, and they're reactionary. They don't live in love. They don't live in kindness. They don't live in goodness. They're reacting, constantly reacting, 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 making things more difficult than they need to be. Why join them in that dance? Why join them in that? It's a mess. It doesn't change anything, and it won't help anything. Live in love, kindness, let go. And if you live in the let go, if you can live in that kindness, if you can live beyond the idea of their actions and their beliefs, you will have come to a place where something unique can bloom in you. Something very beautiful can bloom in you. It's called love. You can take all the anger that people have about you or you have about them and rationalize it into anything you want to rationalize it into, and it isn't going to change one single thing. Not one. Not one thing about yourself, about them, or about the situation. It will not change anything. So try as you will and do what you want. The only thing that really matters is love. Do the things that perpetuate love, forgiveness, and kindness. Not the things that perpetuate the typical pedestrian mentality that just says, I live for an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and if you did this to me, then this is what I'm going to do back to you. The madness, Bob, has got to stop somewhere. And it has to end with me. It has to end with you. The world is not going to be a better place because you and I retaliate. There is no justification for it all. I'm sure that's not the answer you wanted, but hopefully it's the answer that will help you. And please forgive me. Namaste. We love our anger. We're in symphony with it. We dance with it. We rationalize in it. We roll around like in a hog waller and just think it's just so wonderful, and it's not. It's not at all. It's very sad. Last question comes from Ted. He doesn't tell me where he listens to us from. I got rid of my anger years ago. So what's next, Greg? Ted. Ted, really? You think you got rid of your anger years ago? So you're done with it? It reminds me of the student. Comes into the master. He's sitting there smoking his pipe. And in those days, they had these great big long heavy pipes that they used to smoke, I guess, their tobacco from. And the student came in and said, I have awakened. I have found the way. I know this. I know that. I am no thing. I am detached from everything that is ugly. The master looked at him, took his pipe, and banged it right against his shins. And he got very angry, and he was shocked that the master had done it. And the master said, well, if you have done away with your anger, how come you're so angry now? Where is it now? No one gets rid of their anger. This is just one more pile of horse manure that we like to engage in to fool ourselves into believing that we are superior to others in some way or another, and hence we miss the meaning of what it is to let go of our anger. How do you let go of your anger? How? You have to realize it's there in the first place. And then the second, what purpose it serves inside of you. Don't ever think that you and I have gotten rid of our anger. Even Jesus got angry. He went into the temple and turned it over. He was one pissed guy. Such a human, the divine living in the human of him. I adore what he was. It was so relevant to all of us here in the West. Don't make this a game. It isn't a game, Ted. You didn't get rid of your anger. If you'd gotten rid of your anger, you wouldn't even be writing me. What would be the necessity for it? Oh, I'm better than you. Oh, I've done all that. I know it all. Now what? These are all signs of a person who has deep anger. Deep, profound anger. I've had people come to me as students for a while. They don't last long. And they come and they sit and they say, well, I got rid of my anger by smoking pot. That's what they say. They tell me this. So when I smoke pot, I become mellow. So I often say, okay, so if we take away your pot, then what happens?
Well, then I become angry.
So we like these drugs, whether it be alcohol, food, the chemistry of sex, testosterone, all that kind of stuff. We like the feeling we get watching a sporting event and feeling that energy come up. That energy of fight or flight. We're hooked on chemicals inside of us. Estrogen, testosterone, all of that. These are all ways in which we try to get out of ourselves. And if I'm not angry, why do I need to get out of myself? Why do I need something better? Why do I need to get out of all of that? Evidently, there must be some anger in there. Ted, don't be arrogant. Be wise. See everything for the way it is, as it is. Start looking for your anger and see how it comes out sideways. And don't depend upon your own opinion of whether or not you are angry. Take a look. You'll see it. It's there. Believe me. Please forgive me. Namaste. Some great questions today. If you have a comment, a question, or something I might be of service to you, please, at the top of the page here, you will see contact. Just click on that. Send me an email and let me know what's on your mind. And if you don't want me to use your name or your location, you know that's perfectly fine with me. I will keep it very quiet. It is your questions that matter, and you never know how you're going to help another person with your question. You just might help them. Have a wonderful day, and please forgive me, eh? Namaste.